I don't think it's around anymore. Or is it still around?
It's still kicking. Okay. Yeah,
because that was a bit, that was one of the few places where you can read about campus or alternative bands, punk bands at that time. So it was a really key publication, and she wrote about us, quite often in Discorder, which is very kind of her.
and also underwear, like at the very bottom, it says, and especially to all the people who clap politely, even when we sucked. Was there a point where you felt like you sucked? You know, like it seems like you kind of got, you hit the ground running, but was there sort of like an adjustment period or a growth period that you went through before you felt like really confident in what you were doing?
I think that's really a reflection of our self-deprecation. I mean, we're very self-deprecating. I mean, we always, we're hard on ourselves as well. It's the other part of it, sometimes we play, terribly and people like this, that sort of thing. We think we played terribly, but of course, when you're out there, you think, oh, I didn't hear anything bad, So,
like well-crafted musicianship and 64 Funny Cars are not like, they don't sort of come together. Like our sound and our way of playing was always like a little bit loose, a little bit wild. We stopped playing with a set list after, a few months of being together, and people would just start songs, or mostly Eric, our drummer, would just like call something out. So every show was a whole new ball game, basically. I mean, we generally know what songs we were playing at the time, but then sometimes you wouldn't know what would happen. So, definitely on the more, frenetic side of things. And so, yeah, there would be times when it would suck because like you're just,
we just make up a song on the spot, or let's spontaneously play a song we've never played before, like a cover, like Sweet Home Alabama or something like that, and we just start playing it. Never played it before.
That's very community radio.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Actually, one of the times, we played, there was a club in Victoria called Harpo's, and it was like, the club in town. They were very instrumental in giving us gigs a lot, and having us open for like out of town bands that would come through. We got, we even got to open for like the Buzzcocks at one point, and Posies that we mentioned earlier, Young Fresh Fells we played with a lot of times. But anyways, one day we were sound checking at Harpo's, and we're being really kind of down on ourselves for whatever reason, and saying, talking to the sound man, and we said, you're used to a lot more professional bands than we are. And he said, no, you guys are total pros. You're the best people that we love to work with. So, there you go. A bit too hard on ourselves sometimes, but the sound man loved us.
Next track, Arc-wielding Son of a Gun.
Son of a gun. Well, there was no doubt that the word got out, and soon all my friends came by with metal bits that didn't fit, some short, some fat, some wide. And there is no fee, I have to work for free, or they'd all bitch and whine. Gotta get away, I better leave today before I lose my mind. But I started just for fun at the tender age of one, and now I'm on the run. I'm an arc-welding son of a gun. Son of a gun. Soon I got wed and vows were said, and then we had a kid. It was a boy, we were overjoyed, so I welded up a crib. But it didn't last, he grew up fast, there's a curse that's in my genes. Now my son wants a soldering gun and his own arc welding machine. Well, I started just for fun at the tender age. son of a gun. Well, I started just for fun at the tender age of one, and now I'm on the run. I'm an arc-welding son of a gun.
Are there any songs off the album for both of you that like you consider standouts or favorites that you think back on very fondly?
Well, Colin?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. It's a tough one. I mean, there's songs I really enjoy playing and that are sort of connected to things like Boathouse, which is, again, like the most non-serious song ever. It's got a goofy intro that would like in live shows would go like goofy times 10, sometimes very long. it was often like a show ender just because it had like such energy and stuff like that. So that's always like a fun song to goof around with. So plus it was the only song on the album that I had a vocal part in. which is just a speaking line because that's the full extent of my vocal capabilities from a singing perspective.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Boathouse is as Colin said, yeah, it's a totally goofy song and always fun to play though. And it's one of is actually the song that maybe got us established across the country because it came out first on a compilation album on a label called Og Records, which was the label that a band called Deja Voodoo ran. And they put out all these compilations at that time called It Came From Canada. I'm sure those records are still in your library if you look into various artists.
You should go find those, Danny. Like those are like
a snapshot of the time.
I'm so confident that we have them somewhere here.
Yeah, you must. Yeah, there were five volumes of them, and we were on, we're on volume five. We were on the last one that they put out, and Boathouse was on that album, and that kind of, like, it came out at a really great time because it came out just before we released our album, and I think that helped, you know, get interest in Happy Go Lucky when it came out, like, about three or four months after it came out on that compilation. And we've since talked to some people who like there's some people, a friend of ours from Kelowna who's become a friend of ours since, you know, way back in the day, like just fairly new friends of ours in the past 5 years or so. And, you know, they grew up in Kelowna and they said that those It Came From Canada compilations, you know, were the soundtrack from that time because they didn't have campus radio there. So that's how they found out about, you know, underground bands. And they remembered us from the compilation. So, and just so happy to see us play here in Vancouver, you know, in 2026. So
let's take a listen to Boathouse.
Hey guys, where are we going tonight?
Let me tell you.
There's one special building that I like best of all. It's not my home or the school. Shopping mall. There are lots of lakes and rivers, lots upon the coast. But when it comes to things in summer, it's the thing I like the most.
A winter we're on the run, but now it's summer and we're having fun. The Boathouse.
So Boathouse is the one, is I guess a unique one in that it was featured on, it came from Canada and kind of introduced a lot of people to 6420 cars.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, yeah.
So, but a close second to that would be the barbecue party, which has absolutely nothing to do with barbecues whatsoever, which is like a pretty serious, like kind of forlorn love song. And we did like kind of a, not a quieter version, but like with the acoustic guitar and sort of like the really jangly version of it. So I don't know if you've seen Danny, but we did a series of like live recording videos with 604 that got released along with the album. So that was super fun to do barbecue party like today, because, you know, while the recorded version from the album is super cool, it was nice to like do a more electrified kind of rock
live of it.
Yeah,
live style,
with the live sort of sound that it usually has. So,
it takes too much for me to just decide and make a choice that really matters. It always seems something blinds my eyes. End up missing all the letters, and you will always be the one. You're more than just a friend. I couldn't tell you how much you mean to me. Now and then I get to feel this way. I say, don't always mean
album in the works? Is that something that is in the cards?
Yeah, well, so Happy Go Lucky's been reissued. That's been out for a month or so. But we will be doing a second reissue later this year to coincide with the Black Friday Record Store Day. So we'll be reissuing our Hogwild EP, which came out a year after Happy Go Lucky, came out in 1990. It was a 4-song EP originally on 7-inch, but it's going to come out on 12-inch this time with some bonus tracks of outtakes from the same recording sessions. And again, we recorded it in Seattle at Egg Studios as well. And a little different sounding from Happy Go Lucky, but a little bit more mature, maybe. I don't know. Or less so, depending on the songs you listen to. So that's coming out later this year. And it'll be also on streaming services, of course. But okay, we're doing the whole vinyl thing this time around.
Awesome.
And just to add that Happy Go Lucky is on cassette. That's the hard copy release is on cassette with the reissue. For those who use cassettes.
I mean, right behind me are just boxes and boxes of cassettes. They're still going strong here.
That's cool.
Cassettes are tricky though, because we are in the middle of a very mass digitization project, because they are also deteriorating.
Right.
But I'm 27, and before doing my radio show, I had never had any experience with cassette tapes, but they are a lot of fun. So it's cool to know that you're doing a reissue of that as well.
I mean, there's a lot of indie bands putting out cassettes, right? So
exactly.
Yeah.
One of the last questions I had for you both is I feel like throughout this interview, Seattle's come up a lot. And, you know, you had mentioned that in Victoria, a lot of the big radio stations that you would hear weren't from Vancouver specifically, but from Seattle. But outside of that, what was, I guess, the connection or draw or reason that Seattle is I guess, so important to the band in general?
Part of it, I mean, Victoria's literally, you know, on an island. And so kind of equidistant between both, you know, Seattle and Vancouver. Very often back in the day too, you'd have to go down to Seattle for certain shows because they wouldn't come, you know, come across the border or whatever the case is. But probably there were just a lot of Seattle bands that we just loved. Like, you know, particularly like Young Fresh Fellows, Fastbacks, Posies. What's that?
Green River.
Yeah, Green River. Yeah, so like we just probably more aligned to those bands from that perspective. And maybe it was because that late 80s scene in Vancouver definitely had more of a punk sort of feel around it and stuff. So we're looking for like, you know, high energy, high octane, somewhat goofy pop stuff like that was much more happening in Seattle. And then, you know, the Young Fresh Fellows, Fastbacks, they recorded with Conrad Uno. They were part of the Pop Llama record label that Conrad operated as well. And so when it was time for us to record, other than doing it in Victoria, which didn't have a lot of options, we just were like, this is the sound that we want to get, right? So and Conrad would be the kind of guy that like would get to know us. So I'm sure that we sent him some stuff, or he'd heard about us from like the other bands that we had played with that were from Seattle, and we just kind of chose it as our destination. So that was probably part of what kind of centered us around Seattle being, you know, maybe a bigger influence or a bigger kind of connection point for us as a band.
And you know, just geographically, as Colin mentioned, you know, we're right in between pretty much Vancouver and Seattle, and we actually could go directly to Seattle from Victoria. Like there's ferries, there are two different ferries that you could take to Seattle. So it was, you know, easy to get to. Bands could easily come to Victoria as well. As Colin said, we listened to the Seattle radio stations. There's some bunch of great radio stations in Seattle. The reception was way better than any Vancouver stations. So there you go. And we got a lot of Seattle. We got a lot of Seattle TV. That's another big influence as well. Tacoma was another. Yeah, exactly. It was a Tacoma station that we watched a lot. Had a lot of the old cartoons and TV shows and stuff.
Absolutely. If you don't know who JP Patches is, if you grew up in Victoria, you know, in the 70s, you knew who J.P. Patches was.
Coming up next, coming up last, is Something Real by 64 Funny Cars.
What's wrong? You're so distant that I have to yell to get through. I can't talk to you closely the way that we usually do. I know we've been avoiding it, but it had to come up sometime soon. Why can't they see that we're in love? And it makes no difference what I am, how I am, who I am. It doesn't go to the head, so what matters is how we feel. But I don't care what they say, because we got something real. I know it's hard to change your ways of thought in an instant, but I am really surprised that it's such a shock to their system. You'd think they learned from experience that it's not such a big thing anymore. Why can't they see that we're in love? And it makes no difference what I am, how I am, who I am. It doesn't go to the head, so what matters is how.
I think, yeah, those were the main things that I wanted to ask. If there's anything else, though, that you both want to mention before the end of this interview, what would that be? You know, whether it's about upcoming shows, what is next for 64 Funny Cars, just like a little plug at the end.
I just want to say that, you know, we're holding our album release party this Saturday. Album release party this Saturday, July 25th at the Fox Cabaret. We're co-headlining with another local power pop band called Star Collector. And also we have a band, younger band called Muncho, who are like a really cool indie power pop band starting things off. And it's an early show, so things start at about 7:15. And then Star Collector's on at 8, and then we're on at 9, and then the whole night is done by 10, so it's perfect.
Especially for us that like to go to bed by 11 o'clock.
Most importantly. Very respectable, you know. Who has time for these 2 a.m. shows these days?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't know who these people are. Mm-hmm. Don't know who these people are. Yeah, and the last thing I is like working with 604. I mean, it's different for us in the sense that we never had a record deal like back in the day, in part because, you know, committing to being like a full-time band and like doing all that stuff was never really our aspiration around it. And that would be the requirement, like financially and time-wise and life-wise, like you had to go all in. Right. And that was never really in the consideration mix for us. So we don't really have any experience in that space. And so, but working with 604, like, you know, Jonathan Simpkin and Joseph Wilson, who's like our kind of key contact. I mean, they've been super fun to work with, super respectful, like investing like probably way more than they should from a time and, you know, financial perspective into it. But they're doing it just because they want to do it, right? You know, then and putting something back into the local market and having like a different kind of story that they can tell about what they're doing, you know, at that label, because they do all sorts of different cool stuff. So, yeah, like, you know, if there's a skepticism about record labels and what the whole experience is going to be like we couldn't have had like a more opposite experience. So they've been super cool to work with.
Absolutely. They've been great with us and great to us. And yeah, we can't thank them enough.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Colin and Tim, for taking the time out of your day to speak with me about this, and wishing all the best for 64 Funny Cars.
Yeah, thanks, Denny. And yeah, really appreciate your interest in us. And this has been fun.
Awesome. All right.
And make sure you go look for those It Came From Canada compilations.
Yes.
We'll do.
Absolutely.
You do an archive show that is like, that's like 2 months worth of shows
That is good to know.
You just gotta drop the needle on that and just take a break. Not at all.
Thank you so much to Tim Chan and Colin McRae and all of 64 Funny Cars for that interview. As you heard at the end there, you can catch them at the Fox Cabaret on July 25th for their album release party for Happy Go Lucky. Thank you for tuning in this week to Analog Archives. In just about a couple of minutes, we have Wham Bam East Van with Linda, so make sure you tune in for that. Again, thank you so much to 64 Funny Cars for taking the time to speak with me about their band, their music, their album, their interests, their influences, their lives. We talked about a lot in that interview, and I hope you enjoyed it. 64 Funny Cars and Happy Go Lucky is now out on all streaming services, including Bandcamp, so go check it out if you liked what you heard. Anyways, it's been a blast, and until next week, peace.
That's it for another shift. She's leaving work. Someone says, we're going for some food. Want to come? No thanks, she says. There's somewhere I need to go. Then she also goes for some food. At a food bank. 1 in 5 Canadian food bank visitors is working. Yet a job is still not enough. Visit the food bank near you to help and be helped.
You may never have heard the word birth alerts or been told one was issued about you. A birth alert was a message sent to a hospital by child welfare workers before your baby was born. If this sounds familiar, you may be eligible for compensation through the Birth Alerts BC class action. Visit birthalertsbc.ca or call 1-833-632-6557.